Hello, this is Joy Ray Freeman. The following program was produced and broadcast during 2000. I am a master healer, spiritual warrior, writer, and workshop retreat facilitator. My intent is to assist those who are ready to become whole and productive contributors for creating a better world. Please check out my main website for empowerment and or healing opportunities. Joy, number 2, letter U, .org. Enjoy the program.
This is Joy Ray Freeman, bringing joy to the world. Have you noticed that the more you joyfully accept challenges and believe in yourself, the more capable you become? In this dynamic growth process, you are peeling off the layers and growing from within, much the way an eternal blossom would keep blooming. Off with the old and on to the new. Says we have to stay inside a box of limitation and static existence, and then submit to the withering and decay. Only the unawakened would even understand such a concept. No, we're unlimited beings. Our new self will keep unfolding if we allow the inner core of our divine self to be clear, full of truth, radiant with love and creativity, within the cosmic evolution of our destiny. listen to your heart. It says that we have never been apart, and I will stay with you until this life is through. For you are my love in all you think and do. You see, we are expressions in the light of God, who knows no earthly soil or blight. And he gives his all for this eternity, as you close the door on all you feel and see. I am the sun, the fullness of his light. I am the stars and moon who shine on you at night. I am the sea of understanding's plea. Come look inside, and there you'll see the three. Take my love and fashion as you wish, making life on earth a lovely threefold bliss. With my eyes and ears, please speak and hear my name. I am the one and will always be the same. My love, I sigh to hear you cry aloud that your joy in God never will be bound. And with these words, you soar up high above. For you are the truth, the joy, the light of love.
Together with you,
together with you,
together with you,
together with you,
together with you, with three he's, with three she's, in a perfect embrace,
with you wordlessly,
you describe my freedom, after those moments, when the persecuted city trembles,
you appear precisely when the arms of he, the arms of she, let go.
Those spiny ones, with a
chorus of warrior wind
that assaults my childhood senses,
that embrace that I need as much as the one that leaves me in tears.
Before the empty hammock where your ghost gently sways,
the embrace of the grandfather that faced dictatorial cells, embraces of decadent teeth that propelled me toward your embrace that sings like he, like she sang to me.
Before you returned, before you left, in that moment without
the three she's, the three he's,
full of the desire of all desiring,
all she's and all he's, they're deeply fed by our chaos,
is an I do love you.
To bring together root and branch, dream and fact,
to destroy myself well.
This song that springs from all of you, that live me, that die me, that sing me, that are me.
Thank you.
fairies do not live in time. Timelessness allows real freedom, though of course we do recognize its existence in a realm where time has been established and must exist on specific levels of understanding. The concept of time, which is seen as reality in this dimension, is necessary within a physical world. It is still possible, however, to move into timelessness from here. There is once again a choice. This choice adapts according to individual situations. Timelessness is living in the now, where no thoughts of future or past interfere with pure presence. It is absolutely refreshing, recharging our pure life force. Responding from now is to be completely focused on whatever the moment brings and living it in its totality. Children have this knack. Their actions and words are of the moment, unrehearsed, and therefore possessing a quality of spontaneity and innocence. To be truly and fully alive is to live each moment as it is presented. This is timelessness. Relaxing, invigorating. This is also a deep trust in life. Although living in time is necessary here, it has been known to create situations such as postponement, often generating in its turn discomfort and perhaps anxiety. Living in bondage is to feel constricted and confined by the illusionary restrictions imposed by time. And this will create some subtle yet severe judgments of this time structure. To live in time according to the rules of this planet and yet at the same time fully discerning the more expanded levels and dimensions of consciousness is to find peace in your life. This is contrary to living in a kind of bondage and therefore thinking one is a victim of life's changes or whims. It may seem perplexing for the calculating mind, of course, to imagine life without time. In order to attain true wisdom, though, it is necessary to be confronted by the structure of this physical plane, to realize the necessity of certain orders governing a material world, and then to see beyond it. This does not suggest the denial or rejection of such rules. I have seen this very negation expressed many times in defiance. Achieving ultimate and original intelligence while in the body is the final realization of every being. It is coming home in the truest sense. Playful relaxation, sincerity rather than seriousness, and genuine meditation are all exciting and harmonious ways with which to move into timelessness. Now is real. Yesterday has gone. Tomorrow is not yet here. Only now truly exists. An ancient American Indian once voiced it in this way: yesterday is ashes, tomorrow is wood, only today is fire. This I found to be very simple, very beautiful, and absolutely true. Today is alive.
Set you free. Forces hooves are pounding, rushing here and rushing there. Their eyes are filled with fire, you can feel their lonely despair. But then she sees him standing calm as he can be. A mule whose destiny is just to set the horses free. Run forever, it's your freedom you must see. More than a legend, the mystic mule will set you free. Stopping long enough to make sure that his goal was truly done. The horses followed fast on his heels and they galloped toward the sun. Even though many years have passed since that very fateful day, the timeless wisdom in his eyes made it clear what he would say. Set them free, let them run forever free. Mystic mule standing firm and fast, standing there, so strong and tall. Even though he passed away, and has no marker on his grave, she says a prayer of gratitude for the horses that he saved. Run forever, it's your freedom. More than a legend, the mystic mule will set you free. Run forever, it's your freedom you must see. More than a legend, the mystic mule will set you free.
Gratitude releases us from the gimmies. If there is to be any peace, it will come through being, not having. By Henry Miller. A few years ago, I noticed that if a weekend went by without my buying something other than food for the week, I got an itchy feeling. I wanted to shop, to buy, to consume. And it didn't matter what. I didn't actually need anything, but I wanted to purchase something. I don't think I was alone in the feeling. Consumer debt is at the highest level in U.S. history, as are personal bankruptcies. We're literally buying ourselves into financial holes too large for many of us to crawl out of. I didn't like feeling that I was a slave to shopping, so I decided to buy less and appreciate what I already had more. Instead of a new blouse, I wore an old favorite. But instead of just putting it on mindlessly, I tried really noticing what I liked about it. The delicate embroidery, the silky feel of the satin, the vibrant shade of red. That's when I discovered one of the greatest gifts of gratitude. It gets us off the consuming treadmill so many of us are caught on. Here's how. A perennial dieting tip is to eat something and then wait 20 minutes before deciding to eat something again. The reason is that your body needs that much time to register that it is full. If you keep eating without pausing, you will not realize that your body is full, and therefore you may overeat. Giving thanks for what we have in our lives is like that pause when eating. It allows us to feel full, to register on the emotional and spiritual level that we have, in fact, been given enough. If we don't practice gratitude on a daily basis, it's easy to overconsume, to feel a lack, and to try to fill that lack through possessions. Because on a psychological level, we haven't registered that we already have what we need. I've spent years talking about this to people, but the only way to really get it is to try it yourself. For 2 weeks, don't buy anything new except food. Try really to take in the gifts you already have, not just the wonderful intangible ones such as good health or love in your life, but the material ones as well. Your cozy apartment, the green picture, your mother debut, the gargoyle bookends, your favorite earrings. Walk around where you live and really notice and give thanks for the objects in your life that give you joy. Then notice what effect it has on your desire to buy more. muted portraits adorn the walls of my memory house, bringing back images of brighter times and brighter tones when the lights were on always, never flickering or dimming. Now the switch is faulty, shorted out maybe from too many internal tears not shed along the way. And the once light-filled portrait has become sepia-shaded and tinged with occasional hints of yellow roses. So we have an autumn wine where once were summer grapes and berries, transformed by a natural process into the muted portraits of other times and my memories. People turn into wine as they age and ferment. Some sweet, others with dry humors, some very bold in appearance and flavor, some even bitter. Then we have the very special transformations to muted tones, still retaining dignified beauty and essence, through the many changes, becoming fine wine, like my mother. By Martina Whitefeather.
You have
There was this magician of some ill repute who was hired to do his act aboard a cruise ship. He had been there for several years, and since the crowd was in continual change, he did the same act over and over. He enjoyed the good life in this sense, spending most of his time on the promenade deck working on his tan, but not on new tricks. One day, the captain bought a parrot, and over the months brought the parrot with him to see the nightly magic show. Being a smart parrot, the bird learned all the tricks as to where the cards, flower, etc. were hidden by the magician in his act. The bird would say, "The card is up his left sleeve, the flower is under the pot, he hid the money under his shoe, etc." Because the parrot would only take about 1 week to catch on to his magic tricks, the magician was forced to continually learn new ones, which was getting harder and harder by the day, and really cramping his sun time. To put it mildly, he hated the darn parrot, but since it was the captain's, he couldn't just weigh the bird down and drown it. Late one night, the engine room exploded and the ship sank within minutes. Miraculously, the magician found himself clinging to a timber, floating in the water, surrounded by darkness. Alas, he was the only one left alive. As the sun came up the next morning and he turned around, what should be sitting 20 feet away on the opposite end of the log? His arch enemy, the parrot. They glared at each other and said nothing. This went on for 3 days and neither said a word, just glared at each other. On the fourth day, the parrot finally broke the silence and said, "Okay, I give up. What did you do with the ship?"
You can house their bodies, but not their souls. for their souls dwell in a place of tomorrow, which you cannot visit now, not even in your dreams. You can strive to be like them, but you cannot make them just like you. Strive to be like them, but you cannot make them just like you.
Mailbox, and there was only one letter. She picked it up and looked at it before opening, but then she looked at the envelope again. There was no stamp, no postmark, only her name and address. She read the letter. Dear Ruth, I'm going to be in your neighborhood Saturday afternoon, and I'd like to stop by for a visit. Love always, Jesus. Her hands were shaking as she placed the letter on the table. Why would the Lord want to visit me? I'm nobody special. I don't have anything to offer. With that thought, Ruth remembered her empty kitchen cabinets. Oh my goodness! I really don't have anything to offer. I'll have to run down to the store and buy something for dinner. She reached for her purse and counted out its contents. $5.40. Well, I can get some bread and cold cuts at least. She threw on her coat and hurried out the door. A loaf of French bread, a half pound of sliced turkey, and a carton of milk, leaving Ruth with a grand total of 12 cents to last her until Monday. Nonetheless, she felt good as she headed home, her meager offerings tucked under her arm. Hey, lady, can you help us, lady? Ruth had been so absorbed in her dinner plans she hadn't even noticed two figures huddled in the alleyway. A man and a woman, both of them dressed in a little more than rags. Look, lady, I ain't got a job, you know, and my wife and I have been living out here on the street, and, well, now it's getting pretty cold, and we're getting very hungry. And, well, if you could help us, we'd really appreciate it. Ruth looked at them both. They were dirty, they smelled bad, and frankly, she was certain that they would get some kind of work if they really wanted to. Sir, I'd like to help you, but I'm a poor woman myself. All I have is a few cold cuts and some bread. And I'm having an important guest for dinner tonight. I was planning on serving that to him. Yeah, well, okay, lady, I understand. Thanks anyway. The man put his arm around the woman's shoulders, turned, and he headed back into the alley. As she watched them leave, Ruth felt a familiar twinge in her heart. Sir, wait! The couple stopped and turned as she ran down the alley after them. Look, why don't you take this food? I'll figure out something else to serve my guest. She handed the man her grocery bag. Thank you, lady. Thank you very much. Yes, thank you. It was the man's wife, and Ruth could see now that she was really shivering. You know, I've got another coat at home. Here, why don't you take this one? Ruth unbuttoned her jacket and slipped it over the woman's shoulders. Then, smiling, she turned and walked back to the street without her coat and with nothing to serve her guest. Thank you, lady. Thank you very much. Ruth was chilled by the time she reached her front door and worried, too. The Lord was coming to visit, and she didn't have anything to offer him. She fumbled through her purse for the door key. But as she did, she noticed another envelope in her mailbox. That's odd. The mailman doesn't usually come twice in one day. She took the envelope out of the box and opened it. Dear Ruth, it was so good to see you again. Thank you for the lovely meal. And thank you, too, for the beautiful coat. Love always, Jesus. Debbie Moon's first graders were discussing a picture of a family. One little boy in the picture had a different color hair than the other family members. One child suggested that he was adopted, and a little girl said, "I know all about adoptions because I was adopted." "What does it mean to be adopted?" asked another child. "It means," said the little girl, "that you grow in your mommy's heart instead of her tummy." A four-year-old was at the pediatrician's for a checkup. As the doctor looked down her ears with an otoscope, he asked, "What do you think I'll find? Big Bird in here?" The little girl stayed silent. Next, the doctor took a tongue depressor and looked down her throat. He asked, "Do you think I'll find the Cookie Monster down there?" Again, the little girl was silent. Then the doctor put a stethoscope to her chest. As he listened to her heartbeat, he asked, "Do you think I'll hear Barney in there?" "Oh, no," the little girl replied. "Jesus is in my heart. Barney is on my underpants." Thank you.
of day. Here by this windowsill, I watch the climbing light as early footsteps steal enormous shadows away tenderly. From this height I feel compassion come as all the city stirs and trembles in my room. So from a stance of calm, stepping out of sleep, my shadow once again disperses in the warm day. With its lies more deep than any pleasure or pain. With its lies more deep than any pleasure or pain.
New billboards are getting attention in Arizona. Some people reported seeing one or two messages, but the newspaper listed all of them. Here's a list of all variations of the God Speaks billboards. The billboards are a simple black background with white text. No fine print or sponsoring organization is included. A sign of the times. Tell the kids I love them. God. Let's meet at my house Sunday before the game. God. Come on over and bring the kids. God. What part of thou shalt not didn't you understand? God. We need to talk. God. Keep using my name in vain. I'll make the rush hour longer. God. Loved the wedding. Invite me to the marriage. God. You know that love thy neighbor thing? I meant it. God. I love you, and you, and you, and you. God. Will the road you're on get you to my place? God. Follow me. God. Big Bang Theory. You've got to be kidding. God. My way is the highway. God. Need directions? God. You think it's hot here? God. Have you read my number one bestseller? There will be a test. God. Do you have any idea where you're going? God. Don't make me come down there. God. According to a Hindu legend, humans had so abused their divine powers that the gods decided to remove their divinity and hide it where the humans would never find it. But the question was, where? If they hid the divinity deep within the earth, humans would dig down and uncover it. If they sank it into the deepest ocean, humans would eventually locate it on the ocean bed. If the divinity were placed on the highest mountain, one day, people would scale the peak and find it there. Finally, the wisest of the gods said, "Here is what we will do with man's divinity. We will hide it deep within the human himself, for that is the last place they would ever think to look for it." And so it has been. For centuries, we have been exploring the earth, sea, and sky, searching for an experience that has resided in our own backyard. But now, humanity is at a critical juncture. We are at last seeking the divinity within, where it has resided all along. You are an important part of this transformation. As you begin to turn within, your spirituality will emerge from your experience of that inner divinity. As more people realize the God within, the religious dogmas and conflicts that have divided the planet will disappear. No matter what culture or background we come from, our inner experience of the divine will be one and the same. It will be the experience of love. Why not begin uncovering your own divinity under all those layers of patriarchal decay? You'll soon begin to shine and fly. And so will those you touch along the way. Until next time, this is Joy Ray Freeman, wishing joy to the world.